Have you ever wanted to play the perfect tabletop game, where story beats run smoothly, and there's no awkward pauses between dice rolls? Yeah, me too. But since that's impossible, I did the next best thing, and novelized my Witcher tabletop game to showcase the story in its cleanest form. The result is this podcast. I'm Jacob Gerstel, and this is Tales from the Witcher. Part audiobook, part actual play, part serialized adventure, and a whole new way to vicariously enjoy tabletop games. Welcome to the world of The Witcher, where monsters roam freely and the continent is once again at war. If you were hoping to follow the plight of Geralt of Rivia, however, I'm not going to be doing that. Instead, I offer you the story of a not-so-merry band of degenerates who are making their way across the continent. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Honest End. 8. Zevul of Kavir stared across the table at Silva of wherever she was from. The pale woman was tucking into her lunch of greasy pork dumplings. True to his word, the Witcher did not speak to Silva last night, and they had not shared a word this morning. Zevo did not trust Silva. He did not trust that she was apprentice to that sorceress. He did not trust the trinkets she carried, or the dulled rings on her fingers, or the scratched silver mirror that hung from her belt. Admittedly, the Witcher was in a foul mood already. He had been cooped up in the bulwark all day, afraid to show his face in Alander. Even in the best of situations, most Witchers were an unwelcome sight in cities. That went doubly so for sieged cities, where people are desperate to find a scapegoat or a way to vent their fear and frustration. Safer to stay inside. Not like I've much to do out there anyway, Zevo thought. Monsters seldom inhabited cities, save for the rare exceptions like the Zugul, which thrived on human waste and sewers. And if Ghess of Lyria was to be trusted, he and Letho had already scoured the sewers and found no signs of a Zugul. Zevo felt trapped in Alander. He only went into the city because Jeremiah ordered him to. As the craftsman's bodyguard, he had to obey, he supposed, and was already paid for the trouble. Zevo tried to justify his foolish decision by telling himself it was just like any other risky job he'd taken. Really, what was the difference between sneaking into a sieged city and hunting and killing a griffin, as long as both paid? Purpose, the Witcher supposed. At least there was a corpse at the end of a hunt, a fleeting rush that came with successfully doing what one was made to do. Here, trapped in this damned city, there was nothing tangible to kill. There was only drinking, and doubts about one's own existence. Zevo drained his mug and scowled at Silva. "What brings you to this damned city?" he asked, if only to fill his head with some chatter. Silva raised a dark eyebrow. "Well, Yana wanted to do some sightseeing. This seemed as good a place as any." "You just follow Yana wherever she goes, then?" "It's an apprentice's burden to dutifully follow." "Why aren't you dutifully following Yana now?" Silva looked up at the ceiling. "Because she's sleeping in her room?" Zevo grunted, and Silva popped a soggy piece of dumpling into her mouth. "How do you know Yana?" the Witcher asked. He tapped his medallion to stop it from humming. Silva sighed and put down her cutlery. "Are you asking because you're genuinely curious, or because you're trying to divine some deep and dark secret out of me?"
"Do you have deep and dark secrets to divine?"
"Sure," Silva said with a shrug, "as does everyone. I'm happy to answer your question truthfully, but you have to return the favor afterwards. Deal?" Zevo nodded. "My sister and I met Yana back in Kedwin several years ago. Tried to con her out of some money with our meager magic, and she caught on. Didn't turn us into the authorities, though. We met on the road a few times after that, always by chance, and we got to know each other. Yana even once had my sister and I over for a dinner at her Adernian palace. Now that was some meal."
"But you weren't Yana's apprentices back then?"
Silva shook her head. "No, apprenticing is a new vocation for me."
"What's your sister's name?" Zevo asked.
"What's that?"
"Your sister," Zevo repeated. "What's her name?"
"Corinne."
"And where is she now?"
The Witcher picked up the slightest tension forming in Silva's shoulders, though she tried to make herself sound as breezy as she had this entire conversation. "She's not here." "My turn now," Silva said. "Why are you, Jeremiah, and Ethramel traveling together?"
"Eh?"
"Our deal, remember? You have to answer my question truthfully,
Though if I'm being honest, you asked me more than one question, so I think I should get the same courtesy. Fair's fair. The three of us are... Sorry to cut you off, Silva said, but that reminded me. Aren't there supposed to be four of you? That's another question already, Zevo said, though we couldn't help but smile. I suppose your master already told you a little bit about the four of us. Silva nodded. Yana was scant on details, of course. She only said there were four of you, and that you were good in the fight and somewhat reliable, but kept a low enough profile. But so far I've only seen three of you. The fourth is a doctor, and he's back with the Nilfgaardians.
Oh, why?
So far, Zevo had spent several hours wondering the exact same thing. Because he's needed there. He's got some purpose.
Ah, Silva said, and appeared to have no interest in pursuing the side topic any further.
So why are the rest of you together? How do you all meet?
We were all war refugees, and met in a small town in southern Edirne. We were hired by an innkeeper to hunt a rock troll. We've been together ever since.
Ah, any reason more specific than that?
No.
I see.
Zevo grunted, annoyed he couldn't answer the question with more certainty. He, Jeremiah, and Ethramel stuck together because of necessity at first, but now it seemed they only stuck together through inertia, and because Yana had hired them to help uncover a rebellion in the Pontar Valley.
And because no one else will have us, Zevo thought bitterly.
He remembered Duchess Isabella Wartburg, and how soundly she rejected him at the Mahakam Summit when he offered to join her in Sidorus. He tried not to think of her too much, but sometimes he couldn't help himself. It hurt a little less every time he pictured her face, but it still hurt nonetheless. Fortunately, at that moment, Zevo was saved by a familiar face. Guess of Lyria, the sharp-boned witcher from the School of the Viper, stepped into the bulwark. He scanned the area, and his yellow eyes lit up when they rested on Zevo. Before last night, he hadn't seen Guess in over 50 years, since they were in the Redanian city of Novigrad, when we were hired to hunt a Zugul together, funnily enough, Zevo thought.
I'm glad I didn't miss the inn you all staying at, Guess said, strolling over to the table. He gave a polite bow to Silva.
Ma'am, do you mind if I speak with Zevo privately?
Silva reclined in her chair and flicked her ringed hand.
Take this open book away from me.
Guess took Zevo to a jagged alleyway out back. Normally, Zevo would be suspicious of any Viper Witcher taking him into an isolated alley. The School of the Viper, after all, had sullied every Witcher's reputation by taking contracts out on humans. Such actions disgusted Zevo, who was trained that Witchers only took contracts on mindless monsters, not sentient creatures. But Zevo trusted Guess. Half a century ago, the Viper Witcher patched Zevo up after he was poisoned from a Zugul they killed, when he easily could have just killed and robbed him.
But people can change in 50 years, a voice in Zevo's head said. Look at how much your Nilfgaardian Hansa changed in just 30.
Where's Letho? Zevo asked.
Lying low in our safe house, Guess said. It's amazing how much attention that man can draw to himself.
Zevo understood the feeling well.
What do you need from me, Guess?
The Viper Witcher looked insulted. Can I just say hello to an old friend?
You could, but you wouldn't need to speak in private for that.
Maybe. Guess looked over his shoulder, then asked,
That woman having lunch with you, she set off my medallion.
She a sorceress?
Don't have hard evidence, but likely.
She trustworthy?
Almost certainly not.
What about the other sorceress she came in with? The dark-skinned one. Is she trustworthy?
Almost certainly not.
Guess of Lyria grimaced.
Well, beggars can't be choosers. I do need your help, Zevo.
Well, Letho and I both do. What's the job? And don't lie to me and say it's monster hunting in the sewers. Why are you really in Alander?
We were looking for a Zugul in the sewers, actually, Guess said. It was a side job, and provided a convenient excuse to explore Lander's sewer system. Luckily, we found nothing.
Remember how hard it was killing that monstrosity in Novigrad?
Zevo nodded. He and Guess had been contracted to kill a Zugul, and since taking a tentacled sewer dweller head-on was a suicidal proposition, even for two witchers, they set a trap for the monster. This required stealing reagents from a sorcerer-turned-alchemist, Joaquin of Novigrad, which itself caused a host of troubles, some of which were still unresolved. And even with the trap perfectly laid and sprung, the damned beast nearly killed Zevo with its poisoned tentacles.
We need to get into the inner city, Guess continued. There's a nobleman Letho and I are keen to talk to. We'd like you to join us, in case things go dicey.
Three witchers are safer than two, right?
Don't need to convince me, Guess. I'll join, Zevo said without any additional thoughts. The Witchers aren't accepted into high society, even in the best of times. That's why I've got a plan, which is sneaking into the inner city undetected. That black sorceress masked the elf from sight last night, saved him from those soldiers. Zevo sighed. And you want me to ask her to do the same to us? I figured it wouldn't hurt. Any bit helps, right? I thought you viper witchers were known for your stealth. What's stopping you from scaling the walls and sneaking in? Other than the siege that has put the entire damned city on high alert and under a strict curfew, you mean? Guest said. And other than traveling with a mountain of a man who's wanted for regicide? Nothing. That's why it's our backup. But the first plan's worth a shot, right? Who are you after in the inner city? A man named Theo. He's an advisor to Duke Herivard II. Why? We've reason to believe he's been researching the Wild Hunt. Zevo's eye widened slightly. A more superstitious man might have thought that even just mentioning the Wild Hunt, let alone researching it, would summon them from another plane of existence. And while it could be argued Zevo made a living on debunking superstitions, he remembered the spectral horsemen riding through the town of Kalmek, and didn't wish to have another confrontation with them. What kind of research? He asked. The Hunt has been crossing into our realm with increased regularity. What was once a singular event every 5 to 10 years has started occurring multiple times a year, and all across the continent. I saw them recently in Edirne. Letho and I saw them in Nilfgaard some 3 months ago. I think they're being summoned here, Zevo, and if this Theo's been researching them, he might know why. Tabek, Zevo's old companion, had gone off with Yana to create a circle of magic to investigate the very same thing. Zevo would turn down Tabek's invitation to join the circle back in Mahakam, and, not for the first time, he wondered if that was a mistake. And why does the Wild Hunt interest you so much? Guest tilted his head and grinned. It made him look almost charming, if not for the waterlogged, pale skin and cat-like eyes. I don't remember you being this inquisitive, and I don't remember you being this altruistic. Why are you investigating the Wild Hunt? Legend has it the School of the Viper was founded specifically to learn more about the Wild Hunt. We had enough books about the damned specters back in Gorthir Kvaed, but our school's keep is long gone, and as far as I know, Letho and I are the only Viper Witchers left. Why do we do it? Guest smiled sadly. What else is there for us to do? Wander the path aimlessly until you die, of course, like me, Zevo thought to say. But Guest first asked, And why are you here, Zevo? Can't imagine there's much work in a sieged city. There isn't, the Witcher grunted. I'm bodyguard to a craftsman who had business in a lander. Where he and his coin purse go, I go. The Viper Witcher nodded with perfect understanding, but had nothing else to add. What was there to say, really? Zevo sighed. You know how much I hate sorceresses, Guess. I do. And you know how I hate owing a sorceress a favor even more. Can't say I blame you. Zevo put a hand on Guess's shoulder and grinned. I can't think of a better way to show someone that I like them. Guess smiled back and said, Thank you, Zevo. I appreciate your help. I'm sure you do, Zevo thought, wondering why he was offering to help at all. Hunting a powerful nobleman, that may very well be a sorcerer, sounded like a dangerous job. But Zevo was no stranger to dangerous jobs, and obviously not above taking them. Besides, accompanying guests gave him something to occupy his time. Not enough to create a sense of purpose, perhaps, but it would have to do. 9. Ethramel followed Tobias to the heart of the inner city, to a stout keep, expansive and 3 stories high. The first 2 stories were built of solid white stone, with no windows. The only way in was through the heavy double doors that were guarded, Ethramel imagined, day and night. A walled city within a walled city within a walled city, Ethramel thought. The last line of defense when Havert comes knocking. For the nobility and very rich, at least. The rest of the city will be left to the sword. Tobias of Alander pulled Ethramel to the side of the keep and smoothed the fringe of brown hair against his temples. What are we waiting for? Ethramel said. I've a feeling Duke Herivard II doesn't like to be kept waiting. He doesn't, and you'll see him soon enough. But you should know what you're walking into first. Even in the best of circumstances, Duke Herivard is an... Tobias paused to think of the best diplomatic word. Erratic man. The siege has not improved his condition. Well, he's got enough sense to summon me personally. Shows he must have some interest in suing for peace. Ethramel was surprised at Tobias's request when he picked up the sorcerer's fistech that morning. The Duke of Alander, it seemed, was keen to see this messenger from Havert, straight away. One can hope, Tobias said in a tone that implied he thought just the opposite. He's been quite adamant that Arion Lavalette himself will be leading a force to lift the siege, but they've only so many troops to spare, and lifting the siege on Vizima takes precedent. This is all to say, Ethramel, that you must speak to the Duke cautiously. That was my plan all along. Shall we go in? One more thing. Due to the enormous stress of the position, Duke Herivard has recently taken to, Tobias tapped the side of his nose and sniffed, indicating Fistech use. As you can imagine, this has not improved his mental state. Ah, how much is he using? A lot. I see now why you were so keen to hide off Fistech in your townhouse before taking me here. If Herivard were to discover it, he'd take it all for himself. Ethramel had seen what heavy Fistech addiction did to its users, giving them delusions of grandeur one moment, then racking them with aches and a fever the next, to say nothing of the withdrawals one experienced when parted with the drug. Most nobility, like Tobias, used it socially and sparingly, but when used in excess... I thank you for the warning, the sorcerer said. Now lead on. Tobias led on. The guards at the entrance waved the two through. Ethramel's diplomatic smile dissolved the moment he stepped into the keep. The air suddenly felt heavy and nauseating, like noxious gas. Vertigo struck instantly, and Ethramel steadied himself against the wall to keep himself from toppling over like a toy soldier. His breath became labored, and a sudden chill walked over him. He felt as if he was in Fistech withdrawal himself, though he hadn't used the drug since the Mahakam summit. And worst of all, he felt the power ebb inside of him, as if all magic in his body was stuffed into a sealed lockbox. The sorcerer's mind whirled with possibilities, which hurt his head. He had no doubt if he tried to use the spell, it would be severely weakened, if not fail outright. Something was dampening his magic. A spell, he thought? It was certainly possible. He had to admit it would be a fine final layer of protection in the most protected part of the city. All of this crashed on Ethramel in an instant, and Tobias raised an eyebrow at him. The nobleman appeared quite undisturbed by the atmosphere. Is everything all right? He asked. Yes, Ethramel said after a few deep breaths. He straightened his back and mopped the sweat from his brow. Yes, I'm all right. Lead on, Tobias. We mustn't keep Duke Herivard waiting. Ethramel regained more composure with each step. His magic may have been suppressed, but he need not show his discomfort, not when he was trying to broker peace. He followed Tobias through the winding bottom level, which appeared to be the inner city's barracks. Up one flight of stone steps were great storerooms, filled to the brim with wheat and salted meat, food to last for months if needed. Even longer if they allowed the outer city to starve, Ethramel couldn't help but think. He had seen it himself at the sieges of Skala and Spala, where he earned a name for himself in Nilfgaard, and a friendship with Havert, with his dashing heroics. He had joined a Scoia'tael unit in the sewers to launch a diversionary strike inside the city, but all he fought were half-starved soldiers and disease-racked civilians. I can only hope this siege goes better, he thought. They mounted a second set of stairs, and arrived at an outdoor plateau shaped like a spear, with the tip overlooking the inner city. A cool breeze passed through, and Ethramel was disappointed to find it did nothing to help his nausea. Still, he soldiered on. Set at the back of this plateau was a separate building, just as austere in design, and with no windows to speak of. The guards nodded to Tobias and opened the heavy doors. Inside was a long court, with a table set on a raised dais in the back. Light streamed in through windows set in the ceiling. Ethramel noted three doors on each side as he walked down the hallway. Four Dwan sat at the table in the back, speaking softly to one another. A young man, straddling the line of middle age, sat at the center. He had a prominent nose, a dark beard, and wore a red skullcap. He stood up, grinned entirely too wide for Ethramel, and pointed a shaking finger at him. Ah, our friend Ethrealm finally graces us with his presence, the man said. Ethramel gave Tobias a look that asked if this man was the Duke. Tobias nodded. I'm Ethramel Untred, he responded, and it's an honor to meet you, Duke Herivard. Herivard nodded and slowly sat back in his chair. The man next to Herivard, a thin and thoroughly unassuming fellow with a shock of strawberry blonde hair and either ears too big for his skull or a skull too small for his ears, whispered to him. Yes, yes, Herivard snapped a little too loudly. He can tell us why he's here, though I must admit sending an unaffiliated elf is most unorthodox of Nilfgaard. I come here at the behest of Marshal Havert Varmerhoen. I've known him for many years. He's a good man, an honorable man. He wishes to end this siege peacefully. He, as do I. Hervard scraped his chair to get closer to the table. We've provisions to last for months, and soldiers committed to the defense of the north. Arian Lavalette is mustering a force as we speak to crush the Black Cloaks against our walls. Ethramel nodded to avoid saying anything rash. He did not like the Duke's grating tone, or his wavering voice, or his reddened eyes. The nausea from the anti-magic spell wasn't helping. The sorcerer looked to the Duke's three advisers and wondered if any of them could have cast the spell. He sensed no magical energy emanating from any of them, but then he supposed he wouldn't inside the keep. You've a distinct advantage now, that's true, Ethramel said. That's why you'd be negotiating from a position of strength. If you make terms with Havert now, you'll likely be able to keep your title in control of Alander. Herivard's left eye twitched as he spat, under the Nilfgaardian flag. Yes, but you'll retain local control. Nilfgaard has no interest in the day-to-day workings of the city. Ethramel paused, then added, it would end things peacefully. The strawberry blonde whispered again to Herivard. A look of disgust fell on the man's face. Is that your offer? Herivard asked Ethramel. Yes. Then I shall present my counteroffer. Go back to Marshal Varmerhoen and tell him that I will only accept his unconditional surrender. We have repelled his attacks thus far, and will continue to do so until the Black Cloak's spirits are broken. I'm a peace-loving man, and wish no further death, but he will not set one foot in my city. Do you understand? Not one foot.
I understand Tobias undersold you in flexibility, Ethramel thought.
He smiled and said, Duke Herivard, perhaps if we took a moment, we could work something. Unconditional surrender! The Duke's chair clattered to the floor as he pushed himself up. Spittle flew across the table, and two of the three advisers flinched. I will accept nothing less. Let Varmerhoen know this will be my only offer. Ethramel bowed. Of course. I will write a letter to Marshal Varmerhoen and let him know of your terms. The strawberry blonde advisor motioned to the closest door on their left. His voice, like the way he held himself, was thoroughly forgettable. You can use my study to write the letter. Thank you. Ethramel stalked into what he thought would be an office, but turned out to be a bedroom, with a book-laden desk. Tobias followed. When the door was closed, he said to the Temerian, By the gods, is that what our Fistech is doing to the people? I'm starting to reconsider my entire line of business. The Duke cannot be moved, Tobias whispered. I was hoping an outside party might make him see sense, but I fear... A knock, and the strawberry blonde poked his head through. May I come in? Of course. Tobias beckoned the man in and said to Ethramel, This is Theo. Nice to meet you, Theo. Likewise, Ethramel. Thank you for making the journey. For all the good it did me. The Duke is a most stubborn man, Theo said calmly. I've served faithfully as his main advisor for years, and I have never seen him so set on destruction. So you agree, Ethramel said, that resisting the Nilfgaardians is folly. Theo nodded. He dressed in a light blue tunic and looked every inch a commoner. I'm sad to say it is. We've provisions to last, but I fear our walls won't withstand those siege engines for very long. Theo shook his head and smiled sadly. Do you speak the truth? Is the Marshal open to peace? I've only ever known Havert to keep his word. If he wants to sue for peace, he means it. As the Duke's chief advisor, what do you propose? Theo scratched his stubbly chin and said, In such matters, I believe I can speak on the Duke's behalf. I would very much like to meet with Havert and see if we can work out a deal. Would he accept an invitation to the keep to discuss terms? Theo's face was as blank as the parchment on the desk. If it helps any, Tobias said, I can vouch for Theo. If any advisor could reach Duke Herivard's ears, it's him. Yes, though in this case my argument to the Duke might be strengthened if the Nilfgaardians were already in the city, Theo said with a grin. But first an agreement must be reached with Havert Varmerhoen. Can you arrange a meeting? What's to stop Duke Herivard from executing Havert the moment he steps into the keep? Ethramel asked. Well, Theo said, the Duke would have to know Varmerhoen is here. Ethramel sat on the desk at the back of the sparse office and started writing a letter to Havert. This gave him time to think, and when he was done writing, he said, I propose we meet at another location in the city, one that will provide anonymity to you and Havert. That, I think, will make the whole thing more palatable to him. Theo bowed and said, Discuss it with the Marshal first. I would prefer it to be in the keep, of course, But desperate times and all. Yes. Ethermel folded the letter and remembered the ruins of Skala and Spala, after the Black Cloaks had finally broken through and vented their frustrations on the townsfolk. These certainly are desperate times.
That'll do it for this episode of Tales from the Witcher. This podcast is written and produced by Jacob Gerstel. The Witcher novels are by Andrzej Sapkowski, The Witcher games are by CD Projekt Red, and The Witcher tabletop RPG is by R. Talsorian Games. The music is by Eric Matias at soundimage.org. Be sure to leave a rating and a review, and to spread the word of this podcast far and wide. You can follow the podcast at TalesWitcherPod on X or at talesfromthewitcher.buzzsprout.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week.